Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
Israeli airstrikes on Al-Mawasi humanitarian zone in the Gaza Strip early today have killed at least 19 people and injured a further 60, according to witnesses and medical officials. The death toll may rise as more bodies are recovered. Thousands of displaced people are sheltering in this area in dire conditions after receiving Israeli military orders to move there. For the latest in this, I spoke just before I came on air with UNRWA spokesperson in Gaza, Sam Rose, who was close to the site of the attack.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm probably about 4 to 5 kilometres away from where the strike was. Obviously, the strike happened late last night, so it didn't happen during the day. It's close to a location where some UN international colleagues are staying. They reported that they heard the attacks in terms of the bombings themselves. But it's really only this morning that yet again we have woken up to large scale loss of life and civilian death in this so-called safe area, which is anything but, and we should stop referring to it.
We'll get to that. And as you say, it happened last night. The details were a bit sketchy, but now, what do we know? What exactly happened last night?
I don't know precisely what happened. I mean, we're reading the same reports as you, seeing the same images that we will never forget, sadly, and obviously families will never be able to pick up the pieces those were impacted by it. But there have been a number of incidents like this over the course of the conflict, which is now close to a year. We understand that there was no warning, there was no notification given about the incident. I've read reports that the Israeli authorities did take precautions, but I mean, in a situation like that where people are so closely crammed together, living in the most squalid of conditions in very, very tightly packed tents, it's inevitable but that there will be civilian
even if there are some precautions taken, because we're reading of four missiles hitting a so-called safe zone that, as you say, is overcrowded, and it caused tents to catch fire, and it left craters of about 9 meters deep or wide as well. Can you describe to me, give me the context of Al-Mawasi? I mean, why was it, even with precautions, such a dangerous thing to do?
Well, I mean, this is what an area that's been declared by the Israeli authorities as a safe zone. This is where displaced families that are communities that are receiving evacuation orders, which come over mobile phone, which fall from the sky on pieces of paper. These are the areas that people are being shepherded towards. There have been kind of a number of military attacks on these areas over the past several months, typically happening at night. And as I say, given the conditions in which people live, these are sand dunes. People are living right the way up to the beach. There's no room to move between the tents. There's no ability for cars or emergency services to reach them. There's no proper infrastructure there, or they're tented up on kind of agricultural land, and there aren't enough tents for everyone. So a lot of people just living underneath plastic sheets, living with whatever they can, propped up with planks of wood and what have you, in the most basic of conditions. And when rockets and when bombs and when there are military attacks on these areas, we see exactly what we saw last night, civilian loss of life, large-scale damage, and the most horrific imageries of families buried beneath rubble or tents in the past that have set on fire because of attacks close by, and families and children literally burnt to death underneath the sheets in which they've been living. People here go to bed fearing the worst, but then it happens. So absolutely no warning to them whatsoever.
Is the Israeli response any justification at all, in your opinion, for what happened, for what you described? They say that they struck significant Hamas terrorists who were operating within a command and control centre in that area, and that the two terrorists that were hit were involved in the October 7th attacks.
I mean, I can't confirm or deny that. I can only speak from a humanitarian perspective, and we call on all parties to the conflict to respect and recognize the civilian character of civilian areas. Yes, this is a war. War is dehumanizing by nature, but there are rules of war that require that parties to the conflict distinguish between military and civilian objects and persons, and that when there are legitimate military objectives, that principles of proportionality are adhered to, and all possible precautions are taken to avoid civilian harm. And in a situation such as this, where people are living in such cramped, overcrowded conditions, it's inevitable that there will be civilian loss of life. And we see it again and again. And it's why the only answer to this is a ceasefire that sees, you know, military activities, haltings, hostages released and a recovery track and a long-term solution to this problem, because otherwise it will just recur again and again and again.
Cramped conditions, you say, where disease can spread very easily, diseases like polio. And we've spoken with colleagues, viewers and spokespeople from UNICEF, for example, who've described to us a polio vaccination programme that's happening in Gaza right now. But on that note, I know that UNRWA had a conflict with the Israeli army yesterday that involved a convoy with some of the polio vaccines on board. What happened, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, the vaccines had already gone up to northern Gaza. We've been involved in a polio campaign since the 1st of September. The way the campaign has worked is that Gaza has been split into three areas. We started in the middle area, had a 3 to 4 day campaign there. We then moved to southern Gaza, and the final part of the campaign was to move north across a checkpoint which is controlled by the Israeli military, and all movement across that checkpoint is coordinated, is complex, onerous and dangerous to conduct. And yesterday, as part of the polio campaign in the north, convoy of separate convoys, but there was a UNICEF convoy and there was an UNRWA convoy with WHO as well. These convoys weren't holding the vaccines. They were carrying staff who were to be involved in managing the campaign. They were carrying fuel, which is necessary for vehicles to get around and distribute the vaccines and some of the vaccine materials to different health points and health centers, etc. And that convoy was stopped. It was held for several hours in a very, very aggressive engagement with the Israeli troops on the ground. Very, very unpleasant for the staff involved, drivers who were pulled out of cars and subject to the most horrific conditions. Eventually, they were able to... They were released. They were not detained, but it was a very, very dangerous situation in which the convoy was surrounded by Israeli troops. The convoy was shunted from the back and from the front, and it was very harrowing, very horrific for those staff who
were involved. Also bemusing, because that polio vaccination campaign helps everyone in the region, so polio does not spread from Gaza to other areas, including Israel. So let's hope that doesn't happen again. Sam Rose, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Sam Rose from UNRWA.